get lost in it. I don't want you to lose the overall message that we're getting at it. But there are a couple things that I want us to remember, and just as a way of kind of carrying the arc of the entire series and the story over. It'll be redundant for many of you, but here's where we're at. We're doing this series called 2020 Vision. We've been in it since the beginning of January. We have one more week next week, so if you're tired of the logo, only one more week. And then actually, our brother Reggie's going to preach 2 weeks from now. He was awesome last time he spoke. You should be here 2 weeks from now. And next week, by the way, we're talking about finances and money, so I know you won't be here anyway next week. Check it out on Facebook Live, and then you can hit the thumbs down. No, I'm kidding. I think we're going to approach it from a completely different way next week, a way I've never done it before, and it's from a story of a guy who has nothing. He had no money, and yet he was still blessed, and that's been the point of this entire series that we're in, looking at the five capitals as presented to us in a book called Oikonomics by Mike Breen. You can see a picture of that book here. Oikonomics is a tiny little book, easy read, but it has a lot of good content in it so that we can remember that life's not all about money. And our capital isn't just about the kind of money that you have, but five capitals. And here's the five capitals that Jesus highlights for us. And as the world lists them, it goes like this. Financial capital is the most valuable capital that the world says we can have, right? That's the one we talk about the most. That's one that's most easily grown is money. And then intellectuals, like go to college, get a skill, get a degree, learn a trade, whatever it is, so that you have the knowledge to be able to do things so that you can make money. Yeah, everybody on Facebook said it, so it's okay if you didn't. Physical is the next one. That's about like what your body can do, the tools that you have at your disposal with your body. I've mentioned this a few times, but the Super Bowl was last weekend, and those guys, like, they use their physical capital to make money. And then relational capital, we're getting down the list because it's not that important to the world except for who you know so you can get the right job and so you can make the connections, who's in your Rolodex and on your phone to make calls. And then spiritual, nobody in the world cares about your spirit. You know, it doesn't make you any money, so why should we even bother? But Jesus, he takes these five and he flips them upside down. And he tells us that financial is actually your least valuable capital. It's the least likely to help you get into heaven. But it can be invested so that you can get some more intellectual capital and be like Jesus. And you can use your time and your health and your energy, your physical capital, to invest in relationships, to invest in spiritual growth and spiritual capital. So we've gone through, actually, we're working our way down from spiritual. We talked about spiritual, relational, and today we're going to put physical and intellectual together to talk about those things. And then, like I said, next week is about financial capital. But I want to add sort of one more capital here that is not talked about in that book by Mike Breen, and that is this. Political capital, which you could put in as intellectual and financial, all these other ones, you could put that in there. But four things happened this week, and I might add a fifth because I learned of it after all of this stuff was done and printed and everything. There might be a fifth one, but four things in particular happened this week that brought a lot of attention on social media and caused division yet again in our country. Here was one. Two middle-aged Latina entertainers danced on poles with a children's choir in the middle of a football game. Do you know what I'm talking about? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. No clue? No, yeah, no, I don't know what you mean. You know what I'm talking about, the Super Bowl halftime show. Yeah, but when you put it right down to it, two Latina entertainers in Miami, they danced on poles with a children's choir in the middle of a football game. That's just brass tacks, that's what happened, okay? Here's another one. The failed handshake heard around the world. Did you see that? There was at the State of the Union address, our president did not shake the hand of his opponent, but he also did not shake the hand of his comrade, you know, the vice president. He didn't shake either one of them, just saying. Here's another one. Now it's the torn papers heard around the world. Did you hear about that? Okay. I'm not sure if you guys heard about these things, okay? These things happened this week, and they were a big deal for a minute, you know? Then we moved on to other things perhaps we've already forgotten. And then this fourth thing happened, an impeachment vote that went the way everyone expected it to go, basically, right? Like, we all kind of knew that's what was up and what was going to happen. And here's the fifth one I would add that I don't have a good picture for, but it actually, I learned that it happened where the acquitted picture took place at the National Prayer Breakfast. After the acquittal occurred, the speaker who was there, Arthur, I've forgotten the name, quoted a lengthy passage that Jesus said about loving your enemies. And then our president went and said, "I don't agree with your words." So that happened too. I'm just saying that happened, all right? I'm not trying to come down on a side or another. It happened, okay? Now, here's the thing. I promised you back on December 15th that I would make comments about things that happen in our world, especially on this political journey that we're on until November and a little bit beyond, because I want to remind us that our position as Christians is one of humility and compassion. All right, that's what I promised you that I would do that, so here I go. Every time I see us taking an extreme political side one way or another, especially on our social media outlets, I'm going to try to remind us to come back to the center just a little bit. So I see in our body, I see deep red, and the deep red that wholeheartedly believes that those papers should not have been torn, and then it was an egregious violation of protocol, and maybe it shouldn't have been done. In fact, it could be illegal, and perhaps charges should be pressed. I've seen you post that. But I've also seen in our body people who have deep blue convictions, who wholeheartedly believe that hand should have been shaken, and the greater conviction should have actually taken place in the Senate, who failed their job miserably. All right? I see that among you. I'm not coming down on one side or the other. I'm just saying I see that. I also see among our group everyone saying, "Dang, J-Lo's 50? Wow. Dang. Go, J-Lo." All right. So here's what I want to caution us on. When you speak out publicly for or against one side or another, use good judgment, use compassion. I would also say this, be patient, get the whole story. When you post an article, read the article first. Check the date of the article. There's one going around right now about how President Obama spent like, I don't know, $40 million on his travel in his 8 years in office, and Trump only spent 10. But the date on the article is actually November of 2017. He'd only been in office 10 months. So check that article out, because that was a pro-Republican, pro-Trump post that they were thinking of. But I was like, no, you got to look at it, bud. Look at it first. All right, so check that stuff. And then remember that good, loving Christian people are just as heartfelt about their convictions and their opinions as you are of yours, even though they're different than yours. I think everybody should have their own convictions, their own deeply held beliefs. I just urge you to be compassionate with one another, because as soon as you announce your deeply held political opinion in our deeply divided and polarized world that we live in the United States of America, where we seem to be unable to have civil discourse, when you do that, you've just eliminated half of your audience to hear words of love, peace, and words of Jesus Christ. They will not listen to you. They are unable to receive Jesus' love from you. I just want to say this. This church will not be shoehorned into red or blue. Okay, I know you are deep blue, deep purple, or deep red, but we're going to be purple, all right? Because deep purple was a band. We won't be that, but okay, here's one suggestion. Remember, actually, I'm going to give you two. One is, remember that our citizenship is in heaven, and that is not dependent upon who sits in the Oval Office one way or another. I think we need to be passionate about politics. We need to be involved. We don't need to let things just slide. But we have a citizenship in heaven. And then another thing is, in order to keep your blood pressure down, those of you who see the things and they boil, just remember this. It's all a reality TV show, honestly. And they're playing us. And we play right into it. Just calm down. Remember, they're trying to get you to boil. They're trying to get you to get away from the other side, whichever side that is. They're trying to stir it up to divide us. That's all they're trying to do. Don't play into it. Don't sink to that level. And again, there are deeper constitutional issues we should pay attention to, and we should speak out against, or whatever it is, or speak in for. But most of the time, these things are just trying to compete with a Super Bowl halftime show. That's it. Okay? All right. If you agree, say amen. If you disagree, keep your mouth shut. No, your opinions are valid here. I just want you to be compassionate to one another. Okay. All right, now back to the Capitol thing. Now that I threw that in there because we need to talk about it, and we'll talk about it again, I'm sure. I threw that in as a sort of sixth Capitol, and the five. Just as a reminder, are they still up there? No. Financial, intellectual, physical, relational, spiritual in the world's order. Now each Capitol has a currency of its own. Like each thing that we have of those five has its own currency. Financial is obviously dollars and cents, right? That's the currency. We do it in dollars and cents, at least in America. And it's pesos in Mexico. You know, it's just whatever the currency is of money. But spiritual capital has its currency of wisdom and power. If you remember what we spoke about on that Jesus, in his wisdom, he told the parables that he had, and he had the power with all the miracles, all right? And to invest in that spiritual capital, the thing that we need to do is hear and do. He says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount that the person who hears and does the words that Jesus has, then that person is a wise person that builds his house on the rock. You probably remember that story. So hearing and doing, that's how we invest in spiritual capital, to get more wisdom and power. Relational capital, we said last week, it's family and friends. It's people who you know. To invest in those returns is to do play and purpose. You play with people, just enjoy people. But then also sometimes it's good to have a meaning to it, intentionality to what we're doing. Now today we're talking about intellectual and physical capital. I'm just putting them together for time's sake, because I don't want to belabor the issue. There's not a lot of passages where I can say, here's one giant passage that shows how Jesus was really, really smart. You know, it just kind of oozes all through Scripture. He was really, really smart. So we're going to breeze through a couple of these things, the intellectual and capital. Here's intellectual and physical capital. Now, here's the currency of intellectual capital. It's basically this. It's concepts and ideas. All right, the currency of intellectual capitals, concepts, and ideas. How much creativity, ideas, and knowledge that you have to invest into the kingdom, into more spiritual growth. Jesus himself was referred to as a teacher. He was the master or the rabbi. You know, he was seen as a wise person. It was because of his knowledge up here. And Sean and I have joked a couple times, like, well, that's easy for him. I mean, he was deity. He was God, he is God, and he created everything. So obviously, he knows everything. So his intellectual capital was top-notch. We also know that people saw him that way because at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, it says that the people were astonished at Jesus' teaching because he taught with authority that the other teachers didn't have. So they saw him as different. He was set apart. He had a different intellectual capacity. Consistently throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus turning the Pharisees upside down, all those teachers of the law. Like, they would ask him a tricky question, and he would either ask them a trickier question back or just turn their thinking upside down on its head. So Jesus used his intellect to train his disciples. And this is how we can invest in our intellect for a return. So how can you grow your thinking, your creativity? How can you get new ideas and communicate them to others? It's important to be able to communicate it. Because if you're somebody who has all the fancy book learnings and all the wisdom in the world, but you are unable unlikely to communicate it with others, then you're not using your intellectual capacity, your intellectual capital, to grow spiritually, to invest in other people. You have to be able to communicate it. So maybe you're a person who has lots of great ideas and content, but you need to invest in the ability to be able to present it and to get it out there. We have the best tools available. We're using one right now on Facebook Live. Like, you can use those tools to get your ideas out there to invest in other people. Maybe you need to invest in a relational capital with somebody who can help you get your content, the what's in your heart and your mind, out there. You can grow, invest in relational capital to grow your intellectual capital. Does that make sense? But maybe you got loads of creativity you got loads of communication abilities, but you're short on ideas. Maybe you need to go to a class, or you need to deepen your knowledge in a certain field. You got to broaden your intellectual capital. Perhaps it takes financial capital to go back to school, and you can grow your intellectual capital, which then usually ends up bringing you more financial capital anyway. So take the risk. Go get some more education. Go to conferences. Go to seminars. Whatever it is of your area of interest, go and get more training. Learning and investing in your intellectual capital isn't just about getting more smart, right? Just for the sake of getting smarter or just making more money. It's about investing in people and growing your spiritual capital. Now, I'm never like too concerned about being the smartest guy in the room. That's never been a threat. Like, I'm not the smartest guy in the room. But what little smarts I do have, I can use them to invest in spiritual capital of other people who are in the room. You can do this through devotions and Bible study, small groups, discussion groups, basically iron sharpening iron. So the currency is concepts and ideas, and to invest it for a return, grow in your creativity and knowledge, and work on your communication. All right, so that's all I want to say about intellectual. And then physical, it's probably even faster. The currency of physical capital is time and health. All right, it's not about muscles and what you can do in or out of the gym or lifting, you know, crazy things. That's nice, that's great. But in Jesus' world, he doesn't care how strong you are. He cares about your time, how you use your time, and how healthy you are to be able to further his kingdom. So it's really this: how much time and energy that we have to invest in spiritual capitals. And we are human beings, so we need to know our limitations, that we can't just keep going and going and going and going at all times. We have to be able to rest. And so Jesus often went by himself to pray and rest. Sometimes he took the disciples with him. But there's multiple times throughout the Gospels that you can see the disciples are looking for Jesus, and he's gone off to a mountain by himself to pray. He went to rest and reconnect with the Father. There's a verse, Mark 6:31. He says, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." He's telling the disciples, "Let's go. Let's just get a little R&R, and we'll sneak away." There was a pastor in the church where we worked in Dayton, and he was a retired pastor, had been pastor of that church. He retired, stayed there. But he had a home on a lake in Michigan, and he called it, the name of the house was Mark 6:31. "Come with me to a place where we can rest." And he took us up there a few times, and we just went fishing and just had a time of just rest and connection. So here's another way to do it. Keep the Sabbath rest holy. We have 7 days in a week. The commandment is use one of them for rest. Now our culture gives us 2 days off from work, but really we spend most of those things just catching up on stuff we didn't get done all week long. Use one for rest. Keep the Sabbath holy. Business leaders recognize the need for rest by giving you, hopefully, time off, mandatory vacation days, time to take away and rest. Because when you get overtired, you get sick, you can't work or think. If your physical capital is run down, then your intellectual capital suffers, right? You just can't do it. God bless our worship leader. She just couldn't do it. She's sick. I mean, you know how it is. You've been there. I'm sick. I got to shut it down now. If you don't take time to rest, your body will make time to rest. It'll just do it. So how do you invest for return? We can't make more time in a day, but we can increase the quality of time that we do have. So we can do that by resting and working. Rest and work. We take time off. And when there's time to gain energy and rest, that we got to resist the urge to be productive and just rest. You can have seasons of rest too. Take a week off and go someplace. You can do like a weekly rhythm of rest, a monthly rhythm of rest, and a yearly, annual, you know, over the course of time, take rest. And then get this, get healthier. We're so sick right now, and I don't mean like we're sick and tired, like we're just sick. Like the flu is going around. Corona means something different now, all right? We don't want that stuff, okay? So be healthy. Be healthy. Better health makes us better stewards of our time. It gives us more energy for the task of the day. Better problem-solving skills so our intellect is working better. Some of you may have done this for your 2020 vision where you set up a resolution. I'm going to go to the gym every day. Hey, how's that going? It's February now. All right, you got the gym membership. Now use it. Or if you don't have one, get one. Here's how that works. You invest your financial capital in a gym membership, and then you take a friend, relational capital, with you to keep you accountable to keep going. I go with Josh Hand like 4 days a week, and he says, let's go at 6 a.m. I'm like, that's like the worst time in the world, my friend. Let's do it at 7. He says, I got to be at work at 7. I was like, this sucks. Okay. But we go, and I go because Josh is going to be there, and he's going to be wondering where I'm at if I'm not there. So relational capital. And if you need to pray about it, then pray about it. You got your spiritual capital right there, okay? So use your investments to grow yourself. Maybe you invest in time management skills. So I'm just too busy. I'm too busy. I got too much going on. I don't have time to think or breathe. Okay, you need to control your calendar. You need to pare something out. You need to cut something out. You need to maximize something so you're investing in it intentionally. All right, so all of these things, these four capitals we've talked about, we haven't even talked about money yet. Again, that's next week. But you might have said before, I've got nothing to give. I've got nothing to offer. I'm just a nobody. I haven't got nothing. But you have spiritual, relational, intellectual, and physical capital. And you, when you are investing in these four things properly, you are wealthier than you can imagine. You already have everything you need. You don't even need financial stuff. We'll talk about that next week, a guy who had nothing. The preaching passage that I have for this morning, yes, that was all intro. But the sermon is short. The preaching passage is Matthew 25, 14 through 30. And usually this passage is used for the money sermon, but I please urge you to get out of that thinking. Try not to think about money on this thing. Money is used as the analogy, but it's not the end meaning, and I don't think Jesus meant for money to be the only takeaway from this passage. He's referring to our capital, all of our resources that he has to us, all of our gifts and abilities. So here it is. I'll start it out. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, and to another he gave 2 talents, and to another one, he gave 1, each according to his ability. Now, one talent alone is 20 years worth of wages for like a day laborer. 20 years of if you got 20 years of your salary in one shot, what would you do? Or 100 years, because the guy who got five, that's 100 years. Man, just tempt me. Yeah, go ahead. Let's try and see what I do. I don't know. The other guy got 40. So we're talking 100, 40, and 20 years. That's an extraordinary amount of money. It's unfathomable wealth. You can't even imagine getting all that at one time. But it's similar to what you have already been entrusted with, your capital. It's wealth beyond imagination, beyond description. Your physical, your relational, your intellectual, and your spiritual capital. Remember, the least valuable one is financial. It's money. I'm talking about those relationships, intellect, physical, spiritual. It's valuable beyond measure. And it says he gave them to them each according to their ability. Each according to their ability. Now, here's a simple truth. Not everybody can handle everything. That's hard to think about, but you know who the people are that you can trust your stuff with, right? You know who they are. I mean, I think even back in high school, I knew who I wasn't giving my stuff to because it was either never coming back or it was coming back broken. You know what I'm talking about. So you know the people you could trust people or trust with. You know who can handle it and who can't handle it. You even know deep down whether you can handle it or not. You know. You get capital according to your ability to handle it. Now he goes on. He who had received the five talents went at once, immediately. He went right away. He didn't wait. He just went immediately at once and traded with them. He made five talents more. So he started with five. He got five more immediately. Well, he started the process immediately. Over time, he probably got five more. So he has 10. And then, so also, he who had the two talents made two talents more, so now he has four. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. So the two with more doubled it. They invested wisely. They doubled their gift the master had given them. And the other one just put gold in the ground. Gold in the ground. Now, gold comes from the ground. Right? And gold isn't valuable until it's out of the ground. Right? We try to dig and dig and dig until we can pull the gold out of the ground, right? And then it becomes useful. It's a tool to invest. Yeah? He went the other way with it. He dug the hole and put the gold in the ground. So I hardly ever do this, but I just want you to hear you say gold in the ground. Say that. Gold in the ground. All right? He put his gold in the ground. He just buried it. He didn't do anything with it. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five more talents with him, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here I've made five more talents. That makes how many? 10. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And in the interest of time, he says the same thing about the guy with two, because this guy with two doubled his to four, same thing. Be faithful in the little things. Being faithful in the little things brings responsibility for greater things. Some of you have grandiose plans, don't you? Some of you have plans that are greater than Newark, Ohio. So some of you have these ideas in your head of maybe what might have been. Those grandiose plans are done now. I get that, though. I've always had this kind of ambition. I'm not meant just for this. I can do more. I can do more. I can get more. I want more. I want more. I want more. There's unhealthy ambition, which is a sermon for another day. I can tell you all kinds of that stuff about me. But there's also healthy ambition. Because ambition wants you to grow in greater things. But you're never going to grow into greater things until you are faithful in the smaller things. If you can't take care of what you've got now, How do you expect to be able to take care of the grander thing later on? If you can't handle this, how can we handle that? Going to keep going on in the verse. It says, he also who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. He had gold in the ground. That's all he did. He just put his gold in the ground, and then he dug the gold out of the ground, and he said, here's the gold that was in the ground, because I'm afraid of you. But his master answered him, said, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. He's like, you're telling me that you knew I was a jerk and you still did nothing? You put my gold in the ground and did nothing with it. And he goes on, he says, then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So the bank is great, okay? The bank is great. We have a lot of people who work for banks in here. The bank is great. But the interest is usually pretty small, okay? No offense, bankers. We love you. Keep tithing. It's all right. But the interest that comes back isn't all that good. It doesn't double. All right, it would take a very, very long. Yeah, I probably never double. It won't. But the guy's saying, at least put it in the bank and get a little bit back off of every dollar that I invested in you. Do something. Do anything with what I have given you. This whole series has been about helping you identify what you do have: relationships, spiritual insight, intellect, physical ability. It's like gold. And Jesus is saying, do something with it. In fact, do you remember the way to invest spiritual capital is hear and, do you remember? Oh man. You hear and do. Hear and do. Oh man. Maybe we didn't hear the first. Maybe we didn't hear. Is hearing and doing. That's how we invest our spiritual capital. We have to do something with it. You have to invest it for a return. And we're looking for a spiritual return. So Jesus finishes the parable. He says, so take the talent from him. Take the one talent from the one guy who put the gold in the ground and give it to him who has now 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant out into the outer darkness. And in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That sounds really terrible, doesn't it? Ugh. I don't want that. It sounds horrible. And also, why do the rich keep getting richer? Man, it's the guy who had one. And he took it away and gave it to the guy who had 10. That's not fair. Why do the rich keep getting richer? We don't like that idea of someone getting cast out because they don't have money. That's what it kind of sounds like, doesn't it? That's not at all what Jesus is saying. The master cast him out because he was lazy with the master's resources. Not by how much he had, but what he did with it. He did not invest in what the master had given him. He just put his gold in the ground. He had all the wealth in the world, 20 years worth of wages, and he did nothing with it. You have all the wealth in the world already inside of you. It's already there. All these capitals we talked about, it's there inside of you. What are you going to do with it? We passed out these little gray cards that came out with your bulletin. On the one side is just a kind of explanation of some words and language that we use around here. On the other side is a list of things that it takes to make Engage Newark happen. All right, and we've just put them in the up in and out format. You can see what that means on the back. But like those are just things that we do around here, things that make this thing go. So if God is leading you to a 2020 vision that includes increasing your spiritual capital through some of these things, here's how you can do it here. You know, here's a way you can get involved here at Engage Newark. This is not a guilt trip like, man, we can't do it. We need people. That's not what we're saying. We do need people, but we're also getting along okay. We'll make room for more. We put this out first back in November, so you could just see it. I don't know if you were here that day. We only had it out one time, and I said, I'm not looking for a return or a response. I just want you to see this. And I said, in the winter, we're going to put it out again. So here we are. We want to see you growing in your spiritual capital, and here's ways that you can do that through your church here at Engage North. We are getting a 2020 vision for this body. Now, everybody says they love this church. Oh, man, this church is great. We love it. Actually, only one person has been courageous enough to say, we don't like the guys preaching, so we're not coming back. That's okay. I'm cool with that. Honestly, they were very upfront and honest about that. Like, that's great. It made me sad, but it's great, you know, like they were confident enough to say that, and I'm cool with it. That's great. But everybody else says, we love what's going on here. We want to be a part of it. I think that we as a church have some capacity to grow a little bit more with the status quo. We could just carry on as we are, and we would grow maybe 10, 20% more, but then I promise you, we will come to a point where we're going to plateau. We're going to stop the upward trend that we're having. We're gonna stop growing. We're gonna plateau, and then after you plateau, the only way to go is down. At current levels, that's what's gonna happen over the next 3 years. I promise you that. But I don't think that's God's vision for Engage Newark. That's not what we're meant to do. We're not gonna grow to 150 people and just be content and say, "Well, we've arrived. We've done what we needed to do. Hey, now we're sustainable and everything's good." Do you want to see what we do around here multiplied? Okay, I wanted more than that. Do you want to see what we do around here multiplied? Okay, we don't want to just add, we want to multiply. Do you want to see others' lives being changed the way your life has been changed or at least impacted through Engage Newark Church? Do you want to see that? Would you like to see this room packed even more every week? Okay, I'll tell you what I have a vision for. We're trying to grow our capacity in here. You see the chairs change a little bit every week because we want to get more, okay? A little more room for a little more people. I'd like to see this room packed here and then more people on the balcony because there's no room down here. It's actually a better view from the balcony, I'm just saying. But you can come down here wherever you want to go. It's cool. Well, I'd like to see that. Do you know what else I'd like to see? I'd like to see us have to go to two services. Where it's just like, oh man, we just can't do this in one anymore. I don't know how we're going to do that with our music the way we do it. I don't know. In fact, I'm really frustrated by that. We're very limited. But I want us to need to. I'd like to get to the point where we need to do that. You know what else I'd like to see? I've never really said this, I don't think, in this room. I would love to see us have this going on also in Mount Vernon. What do you think about that? And Zanesville, and Coshocton, and Pataskala. And wherever people need to experience an authentic welcoming of the love of Jesus Christ, I feel like our county seats need it. You know, I had this idea a long time ago before we started Little Arrows Play Cafe. The county seats need these kinds of places. I would like to see one in every county. We have 88 counties in Ohio. That's a pretty big vision. I don't know if I'll ever see it happen. But I do know that we helped launch one in Athens. I'd like to celebrate that a little bit. We were vital in helping Athens get a play cafe connected to a church. And they've already done their one or two previews, and they'll be launching in April fully. We have one in Pittsburgh that's coming to us regularly. Help us get started with a play cafe. We need one in our community. It's a depressed community. There's no place for us to connect with people and children. Help us. There's two in Cincinnati. Well, to be fair, one in Cincinnati, one in Covington, across the border on the river. There's two. They're coming to us to say, how do you do it? How do you do what you're doing to make connections with people? Now, to be clear, I don't want to grow just for the sake of growth to say, oh, look, we got 1,000 people. No, especially if it means we have to lose our vision. So we're not going to lose our vision, our culture. We're not going to lose the vision of engaging our city of Newark with the authentic love of Jesus Christ. We are always going to be a loving and welcoming community that accepts people where they are and then helps them on their journey of becoming like Jesus Christ. That's the vision that we have for the church. And I hope that you would be a part of it. But here's what I know. God demands that we be faithful in the little things. We have to invest what God has given us. This has grown over the last year. But we're investing in you, and you invest in us. Don't put your gold in the ground. Don't put it in the ground. It's not worth anything when you just bury it. So here's what I want you to do. That little gray card, take the gray card home with you, read it, pray over it, study it, answer these two questions. What's God saying to you? What does God want me to do about it? Bring it back next Sunday, or if you forget, we'll have more copies here for you. We're going to have this card again next Sunday. We're going to talk about finances. There's not going to be some big push. You got to raise your giving. I'm not doing that, okay? Don't be afraid of like this guilt trip on giving. That's not what we're talking about next week at all. But we are going to take communion. And what I want you to do is bring this card back, prayed over, thought over how I can invest in through Engage Newark Church or other ways throughout your community. You're not limited to that. But as you take communion, you bring that forward as your commitment to growing and investing in the capitals that God has given you and living out a 2020 vision in your life. So this is not a guilt trip. There's some really easy on-ramps in there. As you look through it, you can see it. And for those of you who are visiting us for the first time, second time, or whatever, we've never done this before. I've never said any of these words before. This is not some sort of like pitch that happens all the time. I feel bad for you if it's your first time. But this is about us finding a way to live into God's vision for us, finding a way to invest in the capitals that God has given us. So I want you to think about it. I want you to pray about it. I don't want you to feel threatened, but I do want to challenge ourselves to grow and see what response that God is leading you to do. So don't leave your gold in the ground. At least deposit it in the bank. But even better, multiply it, double it, invest it in your church. Be faithful in the small things, and He will give you greater things. Let's pray. God, we thank you that we've been able to spend this time together. Thank you that we are brothers and sisters on a journey and that we can just come to you out of love in our hearts for you and for each other. We ask, Lord, that you would give us the courage to invest in ourselves for our own spiritual growth, to invest in others and relationships and help them in their spiritual growth, and identify in us, if you're stirring our heart to do something new or do something different, that maybe there's something on the sheet there that will highlight for somebody. Give them the courage to do that. Give them the capacity to invest in that. Help us to be faithful in the small things so that you can be confident in giving us responsibility in the greater things. Be with us as we leave here today. Lord, help us to be the church that the Tharp family needs throughout this week and the weeks to come. Bless them again, and may we be a shining light of what Jesus has done for us in our community. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning.